Yeah, that is 1 John chapter 5. Read from verse 18 to the end.
It
says, we know that everyone who was born of God does not keep on sinning, but he who was born of God protects him, and the evil one does not touch him. We know that we are from God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Let's pray. Our Lord and God, we stand in awe of you, in awe before your majesty, because following our idolatry, we don't deserve even to pronounce your name, to come before your presence. But because our Lord Jesus Christ came in between you and us and became a bridge where we could pass coming to you, reason why we stand before you this morning. Be with us, Lord, as we continue our lesson on why you command us to keep away from idols. Use me with my ignorance to bring forth your word to us, so that your Son, Jesus Christ, alone will be glorified and your saints will be edified. In Christ Jesus, our Lord, we pray. Amen. May I have your seats? Good morning. You are most welcome to Reconciliation Baptist Church. This is part two of the message we started with last Sunday, which is entitled, Why God Commands You to Keep Yourself from Idols. Here we are just meditating on the concluding words or phrase of John in this epistle. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. And we are trying to know, to understand all the reasons that we already started with the first reason last Sunday. But again, before we continue, what is an idol? Just to remind ourselves once again. According to one writer, an idol is anything more important to you than God. Anything that absorbs your heart and imagination more than God. And anything that you seek to give you what only God can give. And the writer of this, these words said, it would be better if God had left us with our old forms of idolatry. Because if you had a stone at your home that you worship, if you go to visit your friend in Nairobi, you won't find that stone there. Until you come back to your home, that's when you continue worshiping it. But the modern forms of idolatry are very dangerous. In this room, not even one of us is not an idolater. Not even one. Whether Christian or not Christian, believer or not. All of us together are idolaters. Where is the difference? I'll show you towards the end. But again, as I was preparing this message, I trembled to on how much an idolater I am. And then I started asking myself, what can I do to stop being an idolater? Impossible. It is a complex thing. The problem with this, that's why we call it the king of all sins. Because each and every sin that you know you can think about is idolatry in one way or the other. Do you want to know whether you are an idol worshiper or not? The answers to the questions below will help you know the answer. One, why do you do whatever you do in your life? Do you ever ask yourself this question? Whatever you do, ask yourself, but why am I doing, or why do I want to do this? Do you even know why you came to church today? Question two. What drives or motivates you through the day? Three, what is the source of happiness in your life? Four, what takes your affection? Five, what do you spend the most of your time doing? Six, what are your what are your priorities in life? Let me tell you the bitter truth. All your answers to these questions prove that all of us in this room now are idol worshippers. We are idol worshippers from birth. This is the reason why John Calvin said, quote, the human heart is the factory of idols. Every one of us, from his mother's womb, is an expert in inventing idols. Experts. And the other question is, if all of us from birth are experts in inventing idols, why is it like that? Why are all human beings in one way or the other idol worshippers? And the answer is that because idolatry is the origin or sum total of all sins. The very beginning of sin was idolatry. And it's amazing to see how both Lucifer and us fell the same way. We had Lucifer and us had the same goal, and that's why we fell. Let me begin with Lucifer. Lucifer fell by wanting to be like the Most High. In Isaiah 14:14, he says, I will ascend above the height of the clouds. How will be like the Most High? Secondly, mankind, you and me, fell by wanting to be like the Most High. The same thing. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God. And that's where trouble is. If you did not want to be like God, I think the answer would be automatic. If for us to eat of that fruit will make us like God and yet we are not interested, then Mr. Serpent, I'm not going to eat. Ask yourself, why did you go ahead to want to eat of the fruit? It's because within you, you wanted to be like the Most High. All other sins come from that. You wanting to be like God. And we see it even in our days. Have you ever seen the convoy of our presidents? Not only Museveni, but all our presidents. The human beings want to be worshipped. What about our kabakas, our ancestral kings or cultural kings? What about some pastors? Yes, so that's why idolatry is everything before God. And he hates any form of idolatry. Last Sunday we started looking at the reasons why God commands you to keep away from idols, to guard yourself from idols. Did you hear also Paul in 1 Corinthians 10? The same idea. John says, keep away, guard yourselves from idols. And Paul says, run away. Once you see any sign of an idol, run for your life. Last Sunday I gave you the first reason why God wants you away from idols. That was that because idols make you walk in darkness. The second reason is that because idols make you sin against the Most Holy God. We find that in 1 John 2 verse 1. It says, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And this second reason is, connected with the first reason. In that, to walk in darkness and to live in sin are the same. They mean the same. In chapter 3, verses 4 through 9, John is talking against the practice of sin. Because everyone does sin. But those who are not Christians practice sin all the time. And John was talking to these believers not to keep going back to their vomitings. The third reason, God wants you to keep away from idols because idols make you fail to keep God's commandments. And you find that in chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. He says, whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandment, is a liar. And the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. Idols will not allow you to obey God's commands. The fourth reason, God wants you to run away from idols because idols make you love others simply in words or in talk. Chapter 3, verse 18. Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. You might be here and you love a brother or a sister because of your own idols, your own interests. Maybe that's the reason why you visit only some members of this church, you don't visit others. If you do that, then you are entertaining your idol. Maybe when you visit this particular brother or sister, they give you chai, they give you some transport back home. But the other one I visited once, I really came the way I went. Idols will make you love others for your interests. Another reason God wants you to run away from idols is because idols make you live a life of guilt. Chapter 3, verses 19 and 20, which says, by this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and he knows everything. And this applies only to those who are born again in this room. When you entertain your idols, the Spirit of Christ in you will not give you peace. And hence you live a life of sorrow. Why don't you just abandon them? Yeah, those who are not in the Lord Jesus Christ, you know nothing like life of sorrow. Nothing. You just enjoy your idols every day and you boast about enjoying them. The last reason is that we find in this text is because idols make you love the world and the things of the world. Chapter 2, verses 15 and 16 say, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, and the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. 17, and the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. Okay, so it is idols in you that push you to love the world more than the Lord. And at this very point, allow me show you not all but some of the idols that you cherish and worship more than God. At each idol I'll be showing you how you can overcome it. The serious problem with modern day idols is that they often arise from really good things. These idols do not come to us only from negative things, bad things. They come even from good things, like preaching that I'm doing here. And you find yourself having an idol of preaching. You don't worship God, you are worshiping your preaching. An idol of being a pastor, going to church, helping the needy. All these are good things that we turn into idols ourselves. Good servants of God in the world, even among our circles, reformed. We are reformed and we turn other reformed preachers idols for us. I saw in 2018 how reformed pastors were lining up and fighting to go and take a picture with a picture of John MacArthur in California. It's not bad to respect God's servants, it's not really. Because whenever John MacArthur came out during break time, everyone wanted to go for a picture, and that could go beyond the time for break. So they decided now to hide him inside his office. But people still wanted to have pictures with him. So they brought out a huge portrait of John MacArthur. It's really big of my size. It's just like a person. To the point that if I had taken the picture there, you could not tell that was a picture. You would think that it was just MacArthur next. Even that was not a solution. Reformed pastors were fighting to go next to that picture and take a picture. Why that? It's part of our nature. We chose it from the beginning. We told Lucifer, Satan, the serpent, we want to be like him, therefore let us eat. So we are surrounded by idols. If I would like to talk about each idol briefly, then we could be up to four. There are many. But let me just talk about some of them that disturb all of us together. Idol number one, the idol of self, which is again called the false I am. Don't forget, an idol is anything that wants to sit in the throne of God. Even if God is not kicked away, but if this idol can sit on the same throne with God, it's okay. And one of the descriptions of God in scripture is I am who I am. God alone is I am. But this idol of self makes you also to come up with your own false I am. This same author says, quote, "We are a self-obsessed people. Throughout the day, I filter everything through the lens of how it affects me. And in social settings, my focus usually lands squarely on myself," end of quote. This is one of the most dangerous idols, the idol of self-exaltation. And we saw it for the very first time in the very first creature that fell, Lucifer, the enemy of God and his saints. The origin of this idol of self is from Lucifer, the king of idolatry. In Isaiah 14:14, you hear a lot of eyes there. I will call them the five eyes of Lucifer. I'll show them to you later. But here I want to show you the climax of those five eyes. Yeah, the climax of them. I will be like the Most High. Self-exaltation in capital letters. You also, like Lucifer, always want all the people to praise you. You want all the things to belong to you. You want all the attention of the world on you. You always want to be the greatest, the most famous person, the most respected person, and all this at the mercy of other people. You step on others to achieve all these self-exaltation. That's why you sometimes do most of the things you do in life because you need attention. Again, I talked about this last Sunday. Again, get me well here. Everything I'm going to mention here is not bad. We make them bad when we give them priority vis-a-vis God. If you don't elevate them beyond God, they are okay. So, everything you do is tainted with idolatry. Your makeup. You wanting to be smart. The things we post on our social media, very few Christians preach Christ there.
We
instead advertise ourselves. When you people tell you at RBC, oh, you are very smart today. You want to take a picture and it ends on WhatsApp and Instagram and I don't know wherever, TikTok. Because you want attention on you. And you hear people introduce themselves as, I've gone to many parties or whatever where pastors are. Then say, okay, let the man of God here introduce himself. And you hear someone say, my names are Pastor Dr. Bill Issa. And you ask yourself, when did pastor become your name or doctor? If you told people just my names are Bill Issa, would you die? Why do we add pastor, doctor, and all this? Because we're not attention. We want respect. If I said simply said Bill Issa, only a few who know me will say this is the pastor of RBC, but those who don't know me will say it's just any other. Like, so let them know that I'm Pastor Dr. Bill Issa, the lead pastor of RBC. Oh, who asked you about all those details? Idolatry. Some of you learned these things from psychology in schools, where you were taught about the many selves. Self-worth. Self-confidence. Self-esteem. We always tell you, don't go to those so-called counselors who use psychology. Look for people who will help you through biblical counseling. Alone will help you. You hear a counselor out there telling you, you are feeling the way you are feeling, depression, because after analyzing your life through the questions I gave to you, you are struggling with self-esteem. We need to elevate it in you and you'll be okay. You hear people say, how can he treat me like this? Does he know who I am? Especially if you reach a certain level there, minister, MP or what. You want everyone to know that you are an MP. And you want to be treated differently from others. How can they treat me like this? Do they know who I am? Yes, you are very right. They don't know who you are. But I know who you are and I'll tell you. You are a mere maggot. You are nothing and Christ is everything. I wish you could know that you are nothing. You could not ask yourself, do they know who I am? You find self even among pastors. Self-love. When I was at a certain Bible college here at Makerere, we were all pastors. I remember very well that we used to eat meat on Fridays. Monday to Thursday, you could see the short lines during lunch. But Fridays, the line could be long, even when they just ring the bell, everyone rushes there, they want to go fast. But after people standing in the line waiting for those who are serving for some 30 minutes, a certain man of God comes late with his plate, comes just to stand in front there, maybe only five people ahead of him. People are like, oh, no, you've just come, go back. Oh, no, you guys, I'm a man of God. What about others here? So you see, all that is self, right? You don't mind or think about other people. And the false teachers deceive the masses that God says we are God. And they feel comfortable, very glad with that truth, which is a lie. So because we are gods, we need to act just like the Most High God. Does he decree things into existence? Also, I'll start decreeing. If you are here and you decree things in your prayers, stop today. You cannot decree anything. That is the idol of your false I am. I am a pastor. I am a doctor. And the list continues. How can you keep yourself from this idol of self? The answer is only one. Through surrender. Surrender your false I am to Christ. Because you are nothing. Only Jesus is who he is. Surrender by always reminding yourself that you are nothing. And that Christ is everything. In the book of Job, Bill Dad confirms that. No, there's a guy, a friend of Job called Bill Dad. Man cannot be righteous by himself. In these words, and I quote him, he says, dominion and fear belong to God. He makes peace in his high heaven. Is there any number of his armies? Upon whom does his light not arise? How then can man be righteous before God? How can can he who is born of a woman be pure? I'm reading from the book of Job, right? How can he be pure? He continues, behold, even the moon is not bright, and the stars are not pure in his sight, in his eyes. Now, if the moon and the stars are not pure before him, how much less man, who is a maggot, and the son of man, who is a worm? Whenever you try to entertain your idol of who you are, just answer yourself, you are a worm. Dear friends, we are nothing. Surrender your whole self to Christ today. Idol number two. The idol of lack of satisfaction. Another idol that disturbs human beings is the idol of not being satisfied by anything. This one also has its origin from Lucifer. The Bible tells us that Lucifer was created blameless, wise, beautiful, with a magnificent appearance or splendor. Ezekiel 28:15-17. God had given all these things unto him when he created him. But he was not satisfied with them. When we jump back to Isaiah 13 and 14, Lucifer displayed his dissatisfaction in his heart. Many things begin from your heart. With these five I wins of Lucifer. He said in his heart, listen to his first I will. I will ascend into heaven. Two, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Three, I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. Four, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. And finally, I will be like the Most High. Here, Lucifer was not satisfied with two things. He was not satisfied with his location, where God had placed him. That is the first and the third I will. The first and the third. The first is I will ascend into heaven. So I don't like where I am. I want to be in heaven. And the third, I will also sit on the mount of the congregation. How many Ugandans are not satisfied with Uganda? How many times have you told lies because you want to go to the UK or to the to the US or to Australia? You are not satisfied with where you are.
How many people have reached my home and said, Pastor Bill, you are living in the village. Why are you here? One even got a courage of telling me, but no, the church should rent for you a house and you leave this here in town. What's wrong with town? What's there in town? You are not satisfied where you are. Where God placed you. The second thing, he was not satisfied with his rank, his position. You find that in the second and fourth, I will. The second one, he says, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. The stars of God here means the angels of God, the servants of God. Lucifer is just one of the angels of God. But the Lord had given him beauty and wisdom. He was shining, but he could not see all those. He wanted to go a little bit higher than other angels. How in the past one bishop said, no, because I'm the bishop of Rome, I should not be like any other bishop. So that's why we have a Pope today. And number four, he says, you see, he began by trying to elevate himself above his fellow servants, other angels. And because dissatisfaction is an idol, you'll never be satisfied even if you were put where you wanted to be last year. You'll want to go again higher. Then he says, yes, I can easily go above these other stars of God. I want to be like the Most High. That's exactly how nothing these days does, and nothing will ever satisfy the human factory of idols. Nothing. And that's why you and me need Jesus. Don't you look at your heart and fear. I fear my own. What has ever satisfied you? Unless you want to deceive to us. Because our hearts are the same. Mine and yours. They are never satisfied. When you are walking, Lord, at least a bicycle. He gives you a bicycle. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you. After 6 months, Lord, these hills of Mutundwe, when I'm going to do pastoral visits, I sweat. Maniga chifuba, at least an engine one. He gives you Bajaj. Oh, thank you, Lord. You are great. You are my God today. After 6 months, but Lord, when it rains, oh Lord, the dust, at least the smallest cavities, at the smallest, he gives it to you. Thank you, Lord. You are my God today. You are my God today. Give it 6 months. Give it 6 months. But Lord, I receive visitors. At least a super custom. Space for my wife and children and visitors. He gives it to you. Thank you, Lord. You are my God today. Don't laugh, please. Don't laugh. After 2 years, 3 years. But Lord, at least a UBZ. So that is your heart. Don't entertain it, because you'll never satisfy it. It came from the first creature to fall. And he's the one who came to deceive us. We fell with the same heart. Nothing has ever satisfied a human being, and nothing will ever, except Christ. Christ alone. To many of us here is the speed governor. Young Ugandans might not understand speed governor, but we had speed governors here many years ago. You want to go beyond 80. Once you clock 80 kilometers, it stops you there. Even if you wanted to go for 100 kilometers per hour, you cannot go. Speed governor is installed in your car. When you want to entertain your idols, Christ's spirit helps you back. Check your own life, you'll be surprised. Something is good for you today and now. Tomorrow it's no longer good. You need the other man or woman. You need the other house, car, degree. Even you wanting to go for further studies is tainted by an idol. Check it, you realize. It's not bad. But we make, turn them into idols. How can you keep yourself from this idol of lack of satisfaction? Through surrender. Surrender your heart that is never satisfied to Christ. He alone can satisfy it. Nothing else. Go to Europe or America, you are just wasting your time. Nothing is good there to help you. Idol number three. Pleasure. Like it or not, the world is full of disappointments. Because of the presence of sin here, we move from disappointment to disappointment. Men find their lives squeezed from all the corners. In response to this situation, men seek after pleasure. Again, it's not bad for someone to be happy. Happiness is not an idol. Not until you make it an idol yourself. The problem is, what do you believe is your number one source of pleasure and happiness? And the answer to this question will reveal a lot. Some of you have your primary source of pleasure and happiness in entertainment. Others in food. Eating is good. Many people like eating. Others in trips. Others in parties. And the list continues. After a busy and stressful week at work, you believe that what will give you pleasure over the weekend is for you to go to that football match between Arsenal and Liverpool. I always say Arsenal and Manchester, because Manchester these days is down there. These days it's Arsenal fans and Liverpool fans, it's fire. So over the weekend, let me go and watch this match and be merry, make myself merry. There you will be merry, laughing with other soccer fans. Hence, forget all about your hell at work. Forgetting that, Monday is soon coming. Monday, and you will be back to your usual agony at work. Now, how are your sources of pleasure idols to you? We all have sources of pleasure, different. How are they idols? I've told you that I'm a fan of Arsenal. My wife and children can testify to you. And the other truth is that supporting Arsenal to me was an idol a few years ago. But Christ cut the chains. I just remain a supporter of Arsenal without it being an idol to me. That's what I want to help you with. Because I know many of you here are under chains of English Premier League. And I always say, if there is a tool Satan is using to sweep Christians these days, it is this soccer. Football. It does not care whether you are reformed or not. Whether you are a pastor or not. I know many of my fellow pastors reformed who are crazy with soccer. And you wonder. Now listen. What's the difference between supporting, watching football, it's a game, you want just to waste time, and it becoming an idol to you? Number one, okay, it's because when you do things about it that you've never done about God. I'm not asking for you what I was there where you are, so I'm speaking out of experience. I know what you go through. Number one, you think about them more than you think about God. That is a reality. Even if Liverpool is going to play Arsenal today at 6 this Sunday, in church here, your mind will be there. Number two, you know about them more than you know about God. You know the names of all those teams in a country you've never been to. You know even the names of the players. This is Jesus, this fake Jesus of Arsenal. You support Arsenal, but you know even the names of the players of Liverpool and Manchester City, and you know them by name. But after telling me the names of Bayern Munich's players, then I come back to you to just ask you two simple questions. Jesus had many titles.
God, Son of God, Rabbi, Teacher, Master, and all these. Which one did he prefer himself? And yet you know Jesus of Arsenal easily. Oh, Son of God, that one is great. Son of God. So no, Jesus Christ preferred to be called Son of Man. He called himself Son of Man more than any other title. Second question, what's the reason behind that? Why did he want to refer to himself as the Son of Man? Why? Now, Pastor, you know you are theologians, you guys are theologians. This is not about theologians, it's about all Christians. You need to know your word. The word of God.
So
where you are, fans of different teams in the UK, you know them better than you know scripture. That is a reality. Number three, you give them more of your time and attention than you give to God and the things of God. But Pastor, what are you talking about? I come to church every Sunday. You come with your flesh. Your mind is on the march over the weekend. Number four, you risk your life for them than you risk your life for God. People walk in the night, if they don't have a screen, to go and watch on the other chibanda there in the night. You don't even care about people hitting you with the iron bars. You risk your life for this idol. If someone is driving, they have a TV at home, driving back home to catch the time of that, the speed they drive at, because they don't want to miss even a second. You don't do that for the things of God. Number five, soccer makes you experience what you've never experienced about God. The things you experience are sorrow, tears, and even death. Haven't you heard people who have killed, hanged themselves because Arsenal was beaten up? Many in the world. So those who are few who kill themselves because their team lost. How many go through sorrow all the time they are beaten? Do you go into sorrow because of your sins? Do you see how they think? If you don't help, ask God to help you, you have an idol with you. If I ask you, why do you go to watch it? Muchibanda. I don't know Chibanda in English. Can a Christian go and watch soccer Muchibanda? Where Muslims and pagans and witch doctors and drunkards are. I've ever been in those vivanda many times. I know what takes place when a game is going on. It's not a place for a Christian. But don't you go there? And between Jesus and Caesar, who is your king? Stop deceiving yourself. Soccer is God to you more than the God of the Bible. You might be even having a TV at your home. And you paid for DSTV, that match will be shown on your screen. But at 10 p.m. you walk to the Chibanda because soccer is not nice when you are alone.
If you do all these things, soccer is God to you, it's an idol, and you need to repent today. You don't shed a tear for your sins that are many. You are never sorrowful for your sins. But we see you sad when your team is beaten. Between God and your team, who is God to you? I want to wrap up. But my message is still halfway. Let me wrap up in this way. We have many other idols. Some are old enough. Others are new. John Calvin said that our minds are what? Factories of idols. We invent them. We cook them all the time. The idol of sex, the idol of money, wealth, the idol of health, and those that the factory of idols has cooked these days, the idol of bridal shower, the idol of baby shower. These are new to us. I didn't know them before. The idol of TV, the idol of smartphones. All these things together, I have no problem. If only you can leave God where he's supposed to be. But the problem, you give them much of your time than you can give to God. You spend much time on birthdays that you spend on God's things. That's a reality. When it's a birthday, someone is, our president does this. What's the birthday? When it comes to a wedding ceremony that you do according to the world, you know, when you are trying to ask you to reduce a bit on this worldliness, you know the answer you give to us.
Pastor,
a person has got only three important feasts: the birth, the wedding, and death. Of these three, he knows only about this one. He does not know about his birth and his death. Only this. So we have to make use of this. So you want to put God down to please yourself? Others even come and say, but Pastor, me, I'm with you. But my parents, my uncles, a Christian who gives such excuses, putting your parents, your uncles on the same scale with the living God, get serious. Because you know too much, you know too much knowledge here also. When you go for bridal showers, birthdays and baby showers on Sunday, an elder wants to know why you miss the fellowship of the brethren. You bring your too much knowledge. You are reformed believers. Pastor, you know, coming to church does not make one a believer. Does not make one a believer. Is that true? It is true. That is very true. That is very true.
You are not a Christian because you come here every Sunday. But because it is a truth, so does it mean that you put anything you want on the Lord's Day? No. No. If something like bread or shower, birthday, that's your idol. You give it more attention than God, more importance than God. We who do not see any importance in birthdays, do we die? We don't die. I grew up like a dog who even did one birthday for me. I did not die. So if you give it to me, thank you. But don't let us do them. My family do them for me. But not on Sundays. They are not bad in themselves. When you want to put them where God dwells, that's where the problem comes. How many of you check your emails and WhatsApp inside the church during worship service here at
that?
Isn't it your idol? May the Lord have mercy upon us. The answer is
Christ.
Again, there's nothing I can do, nothing you can do to defeat idolatry. It is just part of us. The answer is one, and that is Christ. Give him your life and pledge allegiance to him as your king. Yes, the world will see you as a mad person. But for your Christ, no problem. Pledge allegiance to Christ. Either Christ is king or Caesar. And this hymn we are going to end with has got the answer to this problem we have. Brother Francis penned these words down, saying, "Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to you." In short, Brother Francis was giving everything to Christ. Take my moments, my times. Take my days. Let them together flow in ceaseless praise. Not in you watching those good football games. Stop that. You see, even when you want to do like family devotion at home, if you begin at 6 your family devotion and you go up to 7, and this game is beginning at 7 p.m. those fans will not be with you in that. They'll be there with their body, their flesh. But that is too long. Father is too long. Mom is too long. Elder is too long. It should end. I'm going to miss that. You are not okay. You are on chains. And if I asked you, how much do you benefit? Nothing, zero. Arsenal will lift the trophy there and you get nothing, not even 50 shillings. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of your love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for you, not for Arsenal or Liverpool, for you. Our brother was fell on an accident in Kigali because he was coming from a Bible study. If they hit you with an iron bar coming from Arsenal and Liverpool, what can you say in a night? Take my silver and my gold. The money that is God to many. You can't release it. When there is some need here to help, you say, okay, let those others give because they have money. Me, I don't have. Self-pity. Because you want to entertain the idol of money. Surrender to Christ. Because we are nothing, is everything. So if we are all idolaters, as I end now with this point, how come some are going to heaven and you are not? Because there is a life that God the Father wanted before we could live with Him in glory. We tried and tried and tried. Up to now, we're still trying and fail. That's why even good pastors who preach very sound doctrine are idol worshippers, even today. But someone came and lived the life that we failed to live. And died a death we are supposed to die. So if you give your life to Jesus, yes, you will continue. This is now part of sanctification. His Spirit is helping you kill one idol after the other. You who are not in the Lord Jesus Christ, much as all of us are equally idol worshippers, but you experience no sorrow when you entertain those idols. The sense of Christ here experiences sorrow. Because you just do it because of a sinful nature. You would not want to do what you've just done. And Jesus paid it all. The only human being who did not entertain not even half of an idol in his life for us. And he passed that test of God the Father for you and me. Give your life to Him. You'll not manage to fight the life of idolatry in you without Christ. Because all of you, as I look at you, you want to be recognized. Everyone. You want to be recognized. You want to be respected. You want people to know that you exist. Those are idols. You want to be rich. Lord, forgive us, and we thank you that after seeing that we could not manage, you sent your only Son, Jesus Christ, who came to live these lives that we are failing every day. And those here who are in the Lord Jesus Christ, there's no more condemnation because Jesus Christ paid it all. He alone worshipped any idol for us. And Lord, you see us through Christ your Son. Forgive those who are not in Christ. Bring them to Him. And help us through your Holy Spirit to be killing every day the many idols in our lives. Help us, Lord. Christ Jesus, we pray.